Our first reading this morning is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Sam's going to come and lead us in a prayer based on the Lord's Prayer, but just expressing some of those things in slightly different words, just to give us a little bit of a pause from what is familiar to expressing it in a different way. So, Sam, would you come and lead us in that prayer?
Our Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God, most deserving of glory and praise, and we desire to honour you. Let your kingdom come, let your work be done. Kindle our hearts anew for your work, and give us opportunities to share a bit of you wherever we go. Thank you that we have an abundance of food, that we don't know true hunger. Father, our spiritual welfare is more important, so please fill us with your word and your spirit so that we can remain close to you. I'm truly sorry, Lord, for all my sins. Help me to become more like you. Father, I ask that you forgive my sins as I forgive people that have sinned against me. I don't want to cave in to temptations of our sinful nature, so please steer us away from those temptations and deliver us from evil. Everything I am, everything I have, is because of you. Thank you for caring for me and the world. Thank you for taking the time to be with every one of us. You truly are an awesome God. Nothing compares with you.
Amen. I'm going to hand over to Christine now.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for asking me today. I suspect that the fact that I'm a relation of Ron and Hazel, well, Ron, actually, might be the reason that I'm here today. So just a little bit about me. I am come from Arcombe, that's where I live now, but I do work in Kendal actually at the hospital on the day surgery unit, so I come to Kendal not quite every day of the week but quite a few days of the week, so I do get to know a little bit about Kendal, and I've obviously got a lot of work colleagues that live in Kendal, so I kind of do know a little bit, but then if I didn't work there I probably wouldn't know very much at all. And we have two children. One is at Kirby Lonsdale Methodist, which is our home church this morning, and the other one's still at university, but just about to finish. And we'll be coming back to who knows what, God knows what, hopefully. Yeah. So I'd like to just read a passage of scripture. It's from Luke chapter 11. It's only four verses. It's good that we've had the Lord's Prayer this morning, and that precedes this passage. Chapter 11, verse 9. It's always good to have the words of Jesus, isn't it? So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's just pray for God's understanding. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the words of Jesus, that they are life and power and health to our bodies and our souls. And we ask that you'd impress these words on our hearts this morning. Give us understanding and enable us to put into practice what you have spoken into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You've heard the saying, out with the old, in with the new. I don't say necessarily that I agree with that saying totally, but today I'm the second half of that, in with the new. I've never been to speak here before, but it's certainly not out with the old. But we know what the saying means. There's also a saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, isn't there? So there's some things that never change. But there are some things that are surprising. I brought a little prop. I think it's good sometimes to have a little bit of things that help us to remember what we've learned. And this box has been... I'll get it first before I... It's an old box. It's if you can have a look at it, it contained an electric blanket. When we moved to the house that we live in now, which was about 15 years ago, 2003, it's coming up 15 years, the contents were all in the house because it had been an elderly lot of people that had lived in there, and one by one they'd all kind of passed away, and the last person to live in the house was taken into a home, and everything was still in the house, and we kind of were given it was a privilege really of keeping some of the things and doing what, as long as we sorted it out, we could basically have it. And there's a few boxes like this with electric blankets in them. And at the time I saw a poster or something in the paper that said, get your electric blanket tested to make sure that it's you know, not past its sell-by date and that its electrics are okay. And because we didn't know anything about this electric blankets, I thought, oh, well, we'll do that. It was a charity thing, Furniture Matters or something like that down in Morecambe. I took them, and so we took these boxes. And then when I went to pick them up, he said, well, we've tested your electric blankets, but he said, and I'll open it for you, he said, we don't do Christmas decorations.
At this point, Christine's opened the electric blanket box to reveal it was full of Christmas decorations.
And I saw he got a bit of a surprise, and I got a bit of a surprise when he gave me this box back and said, "Oh, I'm really sorry." So a surprise element.
And I think probably if you watched the royal wedding yesterday, there was a surprise element in there. There was almost out with the old, in with the new, partly, wasn't it? Although it wasn't completely out with the old. But there was a lot of different stuff that people weren't expecting. They were surprised. And so when the Holy Spirit was given to the early church, it came as a bit of a surprise, I think. But they had been warned. There was a forewarning. And if you think about it, the Holy Spirit had been there all along. You only have to go into Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And it says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And so this Acts chapter 2, which we're not actually reading today, but we all know what that says, isn't the first time that the Holy Spirit has showed up, as it were. The reading from Ezekiel was a picture, wasn't it, of what the Holy Spirit was going to bring and to do. And when Jesus was conceived, this is what the angel said to Mary: "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." And Jesus himself, the lovely passages when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 15 and 16 and 14, which have already been made reference to, about what the Holy Spirit leading us into truth and convicting us of sin and righteousness and judgment. So these disciples had kind of had a warning that maybe warning isn't quite the right word. They knew that something was coming, but we know from the passage that we read in Acts chapter 2 that they didn't quite expect it to be like that. In chapter verse 12, "So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean?" And even later on in Acts chapter 19, after the obviously Paul had done a lot of preaching, and Peter was as well, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." So there obviously was some issue there. And interestingly, we think of today, Pentecost, as the day of the birthday, as it were, of the church. That's what they call it in some circles. And I suppose when Jesus said to Peter, "You are Peter the rock, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus said, "It's my church." And when the Holy Spirit came, it was almost like it was the party was beginning. The birthday had come, the labour was over, and this was the moment when it all started to take effect. And so that's why we've read that verse in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" At a party, there are gifts. At a party, there are guests. And so we're going to look at the Holy Spirit as a gift and the Holy Spirit as a guest. It's a gift from your Father. We give gifts because we want someone else to have something that we've picked out specially. And so I think Father God wants us to have the Holy Spirit. More than once we read these words, "Receive the Holy Spirit to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm breathing it over you." And receiving indicates some positive action on our part. If you have a gift given to you, you can do one of a few things. You can
take it with both hands and say thank you. You can maybe, we don't do this, but this is just an illustration. You can drop it because you don't want it, or you can give it back because you don't want it. So we have to, if we don't show some outward positive in a response to this gift of the Holy Spirit, then we don't experience the effects of the gift. If we take the gift that we've been given, unwrap it, put it in our home and use it, we experience the effects of that gift. And so the gift normally has a use and a purpose. So what's the purpose of this gift of the Holy Spirit? Lots of different things we can find from the scriptures. To receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, to help us to be a witness in Jerusalem, Samaria and all over the world, and that includes us today, to be a helper or a comforter, a teacher, a convictor of sin, righteousness and judgment, a leader into truth, making sense of things. We can't afford to be without this gift. I think that's already been said today as well. We can't exist as Christians without this gift. And if you were listening to the sermon yesterday at the royal wedding, he said, imagine a world without love. Imagine whatever, I can't remember exactly what he said. Imagine it without love. It's not imaginable. But imagine Christianity without the Holy Spirit. It just wouldn't happen. Everyone loves a wrapped present. I don't think we ever tire, ever, of opening a present, however old or young we are. God's gift of the Holy Spirit is not wrapped as such, it's not covered, but it does have many other gifts inside it. It's like the gift after gift after gift. They're the best ones. What's under the next wrapper? What's under the next wrapper? Is there something else? Well, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is a bringer of other gifts as well. Recorded for us in the New Testament, in the Acts, and also in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. And I'll just briefly mention some of these. There's things like wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, praying in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and other things like teaching, encouraging, helping, showing mercy, and giving. All of these are gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to spread abroad in his church. When Peter started preaching and laying his hands on them, and they spoke with tongues, that's in Acts again, chapter 19, maybe they weren't sure about these things. People still aren't sure about these things. But further in the chapter, and this is what I like about it in Acts chapter 19, it says that the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now that is the result of the Holy Spirit being poured out. I haven't written the reference down to that, but there's another reference as well. Yes, it is, verse 17. This became known both to Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And in verse 20, and the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Isn't that what we want in our day and generation? We want the Holy Spirit to have that effect, that the name of the Lord Jesus is magnified and that the word of the Lord will grow mighty, not just grow mighty, but prevail in our land as well. So, the Father, the scriptures tell us the Father decides who gets what gift and when, and there's really no room for, I don't really like my gift, I want somebody else's gift. Or the unwanted gift syndrome. I mean, that's just awful, isn't it, at Christmas when you read it in the paper, unwanted gift. So the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father who wants to give so much more. And the only wrapping to undo is really to uncover the things that we want to cover up, that we don't want to receive or believe about the Holy Spirit, the bits that we would prefer actually not to acknowledge. So, that's the Holy Spirit as a gift. And now we look at the Holy Spirit as a guest. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So you're inviting someone for Sunday lunch, and you go about asking. Firstly, you send the invitation. You send it whichever way feels comfortable. Phone call, text, letter, email, face to face, note under the door. And when you're asking for the Father to give you the Holy Spirit, probably none of these approaches would maybe be the way that you would go about it. Though I think for some people actually writing down how they feel does actually help people. Writing God a letter is not a silly thing to do. It just helps you to express how you're feeling, to put it down in words. But the main way of asking God is to speak it out. To lay bare your heart and your feelings towards God in an open sort of way. And so we send the invite. And the guests arrive on the doorstep. What do we do then? Say, "Oh, sorry, something else has cropped up. You're not welcome anymore. We can't have you today. Off you go," and leave them dumbstruck on the doorstep. No, you don't do that really, do we? We welcome them in. We make them feel welcome and at home. And they become part of our household for that short time. And so the Holy Spirit desires to be made welcome and not turned away. It is possible for us to make the Holy Spirit grieved. In Ephesians 4 verse 30 it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." There are some wonderful things that the Holy Spirit does. Ephesians 1 verse 13, it's not just a kind of one-off thing, this. He plays a part in our salvation. "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." That's the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And in Romans 5 verse 5, again, how the Holy Spirit is an integral part of our Christian walk. "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So how might we not grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, the Message version of the Bible says, "Make a clean break of all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Instead, be gentle with one another, sensitive, forgiving one another as quickly and as thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you." If we live like that, the Holy Spirit will be happy to stay around. And so the guests settle in, and depending on their character, they make their presence felt. And the effects of their visit are felt and experienced, and maybe they leave their mark on your life even after they've gone. And so the Holy Spirit wants to do that with us as well. He wants to impress himself upon our life when he's the guest of our heart, so much so that others feel the impact too. And the Bible calls that fruit that will last. Galatians 5 verse 22 in the section "Walking in the Spirit." "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these fruit there is absolutely no law. at all. And coming to a close, this is also being described as being filled with the Holy Spirit, having a house full of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says it like this: "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you when you ask him, and whom you have as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." He's the God of the how much more. But our question today is, have we asked him in as a guest? And have we taken that gift from God, which he so longs to give us? Amen.